That's what it's known as meditation. It's from the fourth chapter of the letter of 1 Timothy, beginning in verse 7. Train yourself in godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, for to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. This is the text. One doesn't have to walk around very much or go very far to discover that we are presently in this country, perhaps in the whole world, in the midst of what one would call a fitness craze, or to raise it one level higher on the respect ladder, a physical fitness movement. You can drive anywhere at any time and you'll find the perpetual jogger. I have a tendency to respond to people on the couch that there's a basic jogger, your basic jogger. We have people spending millions of dollars on machinery, which is geared to make us healthier, not necessarily wealthier, with the exception of the people who make the machinery, with bigger biceps or triceps or whatever kind of steps you want. And so it is that training and fitness are in the minds of everybody, at least in the physical world. And diet, machinery, publishing, attitudes are all tied up in somehow or other fostering this movement. It is this same analogy, this same picture of fitness, which is part and parcel of our text. In 1 Timothy, train yourself in godliness, for the whole, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. And you hear these passioning and resounding words of Paul, who talks about running the race and getting the prize and all this stuff. You can just see it right here. And you say, yes. It is very important that the Christian, in his or her life, daily stays spiritually fit. And you know that. And we are, and we should be, and we can be, and we will be physically fit by the grace of God. But in order to get to that goal, there is one piece of understanding that we do not overlook. And that is that staying fit spiritually can somehow and often is bamboozled by busyness in theology. This chapter is part of a whole section dealing with staying true to doctrine. And you see, it's important then that before we understand how we're going to stay physically fit, we understand what the parameters are in which this whole thing is done. It would be a little bit like this. If you want to gain weight or become more muscular or whatever it is you want to happen, you better first understand how your body works and what it does and what all is going on, and be very clear about that point, lest you go about the whole process and in the end, you fix yourself, so to speak, and die. All exercise is natural. And the writer here would suggest that all theological exercise is not good either. We're in a community here where we know precisely what it's all about. We know what pure theology is. We are true to the inspired word of God. We have the pure teaching. We give all our allegiance to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you can name it all. If you have systematic, you can do it that way. If you do it, you can do it that way. Practical theology, you can do it. Historical theology, you can do it that way. And I would say to you that my name is that. Have we become so enamored with the practice of theology that often we are so busy training ourselves in the practice of theology that we actually lose the theology? That we actually lose what the theology is there for, namely to enhance and help us in spirituality. That personally, theology must be working in our very lives. This word godliness is here, he says, train yourself in godliness. godliness. The Greek word happens to be the name of a church father. Eusebius is the Greek word. That's godliness. What is godliness? It's this whole business of practicing our piety, worshiping and giving glory to Him who is the true and loving God, described as the Savior of all men. If we are to claim to be spiritual theologians and not just theologians of the book, so to speak, academic theologians, it is that we must understand that it is our call to also be spiritual and praying for godliness, the deeds of godliness, the words of godliness, the worship of godliness, but most of all, the focus of godliness on Him who is the true and living God. We can make a theology also a God. It is true. And in so doing, our training will lead to nothing. The thing here is a call to the kind of theology which is relevant in our lives. What is relevant theology? Relevant theology is a theology which states that the living God is indeed living, and that the living God has as His very purpose the salvation of His people, because that's what it says, God who is our Savior, the Savior of all men, and that this is going to happen by the grace of God to those who believe. Real theology says Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born as a child. Jesus Christ did walk on this earth. Jesus Christ did ascend the cross. Jesus Christ did die there for the sins of the world. And by the grace of God, you and I are saved by that sacrificial event. That's theology. And as that permeates our daily lives, and as that goes through all that we do and we say, then we are training in spiritual theology. And we can be considered God. That is training in godliness. Never ever to forget this great gospel that God in His mercy has washed away our sins, that God, the living God, is our Savior, and that in Jesus Christ all this takes place. And that the hope that we have, which is ultimate, here the saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, we can hold to this promise. That is the promise. The promise is that of eternal life. The joy of the resurrection day is just a foretaste of what that will be for us as we see and experience God. And our godliness becomes living in the very presence of the real God. Next time you see one of these gathers, think about 1 Timothy chapter 4. You can't always have your Bible with you in your driving. But you can have your theology with you every waking moment of your life, even when you're driving. And if you pass just one gather and you think of just one thing I said today, and you think about spiritual fitness, and once again, you say, and it's for me, we will have succeeded in this.